Next, we'll hear from Judge Kenneth So for Policy Coordination and the Liaison Committee report.
The Policy Committee has met twice since our last council meeting. We have continued our discussion from the October PCLC meeting on council-sponsored legislation. At its November 14th meeting, we have recommended council sponsorship of six legislative proposals. In addition to these proposals, the council's 2013 legislative summary adopted at the October meeting are items B through H on tomorrow's consent agenda. Item T on the discussion agenda are the legislative priorities recommended for 2014. Additionally, we met this past Tuesday and we discussed allowing courts the discretion to provide interpreters in civil cases, and that proposal will be before the council at the beginning of the year. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Judge So. Next, we'll hear from Justice Miller, the Executive and Planning Committee report.
Thank you, Chief. The primary role of Executive and Planning is to set the agenda for each of our Judicial Council meetings, as well as to oversee certain tasks that are delegated to us by the Council. We've had a number of meetings since October in that regard, and that has resulted in the meetings and the agenda that we have for today and tomorrow. We also met jointly on October 24th with RUPRO and the Tech Committee, and at that meeting approved rules for various new and continuing advisory committees. Those are now out for public comment, and you or others may comment until December 20th. Those are the Court Facilities Advisory Committee, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch, Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, and the Court's Executive Advisory Committee. My report will be posted online after our meeting today, but there are three other matters that I would like to take discretion to also highlight. As you know, I've been working with four other chairs of our internal committees, Justice Hall, Judge So, Judge O'Malley, and Judge Herman, to put together a draft of an open meetings rule. We've had many meetings, and I want to stress many, including one this morning to discuss how we can balance the need for transparency with ethical concerns raised by justices, judges, and attorneys who volunteer and act as volunteers on over 35 advisory committees. Also, the comments we've received in our preliminary rule have been helpful in formulating the next draft of the rule, which will be circulated for 6 weeks for additional comment. Our goal is to have that proposed rule ready for circulation on December 20th. I truly want to thank my co-chairs for their wit and their wisdom, as well as your availability and patience and all of the staff that have assisted in that particular matter. Also, as many of you know, the Strategic Evaluation Committee provided a great service in identifying governance improvements for the Judicial Council and structural reforms for the Administrative Office of the Courts. Ever since the Judicial Council turned the SEC recommendations into Council directives, the AOC staff has come back repeatedly to the Council or to Executive and Planning with status reports on the directives and other initiatives. I reported at our last Judicial Council meeting in October about a full day September meeting we had in this regards, and also at the October meeting on the restructuring of 14 years of Judicial Council delegations to the Administrative Director. I wanted to also briefly report on one of these formidable reassessment projects, the Essential Services Review, initiated by the AOC executive team in order to comply with the spirit of the SEC and the Judicial Council directives, particularly the first four directives which dealt with governance by the AOC, by the Judicial Council. This project, which I believe is unique for government entities and a first for the AOC, began in June this year and is anticipated to continue well into 2014. The Essential Services Review will be fairly complex and a lengthy multi-phase project, with the first phase focusing on identifying all of the services provided by the AOC, services to the courts and for all judicial branch entities, to sister branches of our state government, the federal government, local and national justice partners, community organizations, and most importantly, the public. The follow-up phases will encompass a review of the workload and the associated resources that are being used to complete each of the activities, with a view to determining where resources are at the appropriate level or additional resources may be needed. This may require further restructuring and additional guidance from the Council to prioritize these important activities. Ultimately, this analysis will inform the process of managing and balancing existing resources within the organization to most effectively meet the Council's goals for the branch. The analysis will also inform the Council's oversight of the AOC and its activities. It is clear that this is a work in progress, the next logical step in the reassessment process that began when the Chief Justice appointed the Strategic Evaluation Committee during her first year in office. I want to extend my thanks to the AOC's executive team for taking this initiative and to the AOC management and staff for supporting it. And then finally, Chief, I would be remiss if, on behalf of myself and also the E&P members that have served with Nancy Spiro over these many years, if I didn't say a few things. So to me, Nancy embodies all that's best about the AOC staff members who I've worked with. Incredible work ethic combined with a deep, deep devotion to public service. Like many other senior AOC staff members I've encountered, Nancy had a highly successful career in the private sector. She was a litigation partner in a Los Angeles law firm. She developed a thriving private mediation practice, mediating more than 500 civil litigation cases. She has taught courses in alternative dispute resolution and business law. She has trained attorneys and business executives in negotiating skills. She served in various roles in the AOC, and I've come to know her in her role as a senior attorney and lead staff to the Judicial Council's support services team, and most importantly, to E&P and me as chair. As those of us on the Judicial Council and its internal committees know, we could not perform our oversight functions without the dedication of talented staff. As the Council's oversight role has increased in the last 3 years, again, thanks to the vision of our Chief Justice, we have increasingly relied on the formidable expertise that the AOC staff members like Nancy bring to the table. We still have a lot of work to do, and Chief, you've made it clear that the work of reassessment is constant. I'm sorry that Nancy won't be here to assist us with this important work. Her wisdom, her creativity, and her problem-solving ability will be sorely missed, especially by me. We have only to look at the quality of her work and the excellence of her effort to remind ourselves of the nobility of what we do and what she did, and that's the importance of public service. So thank you, Nancy. Thank you. And thank you, Chief. That's my report.
Thank you, Justice.
Oh, and I did want to say one other thing, too, that as sorely as we will miss Nancy, she has a wonderful replacement in Nancy Carlisle, who I have worked with and who I admire, and as big shoes to fill, but we'll do it ably. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Justice Harry Hull, Jr. on Rules and Project Committee report.
Thank you, Chief. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Rules and Projects Committee has met twice by telephone and twice in person since the Judicial Council meeting we held on October 24th and 25th. The Rules and Projects Committee met by telephone on November the 12th to consider two proposals, one of which had been circulated for comment and one that makes only technical changes. The Rules and Projects Committee recommends approval of these items, which are item A3 and A4 on tomorrow's consent agenda. On November the 25th, the Rules and Projects Committee again met by telephone to consider four proposals. The Rules and Projects Committee recommends council approval of three of those proposals, which are items A2, A5, and A6 on tomorrow's consent agenda. You should note that there are pink sheets for item A6, which is the 2014 Uniform Bail and Penalty Schedule. At that meeting, RuPro declined to recommend that the council revise restraining order forms without first circulating them for comment. The revisions would reflect recent changes in the law that provide that a restrained person has the option of storing a prohibited firearm with a California-licensed gun dealer. The Rules and Projects Committee directed the Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee to work with the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee to prepare a notice to the courts suggesting that courts take steps after January 1, 2014, to inform the parties in restraining order proceedings of the recent change in the law during the interim period before the revised forms are adopted later in 2014 after full public comment. The Rules and Projects Committee met in person yesterday, December the 11th, to consider 11 rules and forms proposals to circulate for public comment during the winter cycle and one proposal making technical amendments which will be presented to the Judicial Council at its April meeting. Most of the proposals to circulate are required to comply with or implement recent legislation. Two proposals address Judicial Council Directive Number 79, which asked the Rules and Projects Committee to evaluate relaxation of mandatory education requirements to allow the administrative director of the courts and court executive officers greater discretion and flexibility in using their workforces during times of budget constraints. Following public circulation and further review by the advisory committees and the Rules and Projects Committee, all winter cycle proposals are expected to come before you, before the council, at the April 2014 business meeting. Later on December the 11th, yesterday, the Rules and Projects Committee met jointly, as Justice Miller noted, with the Executive and Planning Committee and with Judge Herman to consider the 2014 annual agendas of 11 advisory committees overseen by the three internal committees. The internal committees will meet again in March to consider the annual agendas of the remaining advisory groups. Chief, I'd be glad to answer any questions on the RUPRO report.
Thank you, Justice Hull. See no hands raised. We now turn to Judge James Herman for the report from the Technology Committee.
Thank you very much, Chief. The Technology Committee has been pretty busy since our October JC meeting. We have met five times by telephone and once in person. And I'd like to talk first about the telephonic meetings because they, although we dealt with a number of different business items that were on our agenda, our main focus was to review a draft prioritization tool that has been created, again, in draft form by the planning task force. And the purpose of this prioritization tool was to prioritize projects aligning with the proposed draft strategic plan, and it will provide a transparent and consistent model for evaluating projects by considering factors including overall return on investment, business risk, alignment with strategic goals. It is a draft process that we will be working on to perfect, and it's a way, again, to provide us with a concrete and objective process in terms of project selection that will be reviewable by our internal and external stakeholders for a transparent process. So we are pilot testing this evaluation matrix, and we're using it to select courts to be considered for case management systems to be considered for budget change proposals that will be submitted to the Department of Finance in February. This request will be submitted to the Judicial Council for review and approval in our January meeting. All 58 courts, by the way, were surveyed in terms of their interest for a budget change proposal approach to replacement of case management systems. 32 courts indicated some interest in participating, with 14 courts actually submitting proposals to our committee. The prioritization subgroup of the Technology Planning Task Force participated in all of the telephonic meetings to answer any questions related to their creation of the draft project prioritization scorecard. At the November 8th meeting, the committee reviewed information that was submitted by these 14 courts that filled out the project prioritization scorecard as part of the survey to participate in the BCP process for case management system replacement. The JCTC decided by a vote that Calaveras, Glenn, Lassen, Los Angeles, Monterey, and San Diego courts would be invited to submit additional information and would be asked to present at a meeting to be scheduled. So part of the factor analysis beyond risk, 3D access, and so on, was the idea that we needed to have representative courts in terms of size as well as representation geographically from across the state. At the November 25th meeting, the six courts made their presentation to the JCTC, and then at the November 26th meeting, the committee reviewed and discussed the presentations from the day before, and with the ability of staff to support the projects, we approved all six courts, Lassen, Monterey, Glenn, San Diego, Calaveras, and Los Angeles County to participate in this pilot BCP for case management system replacement. And I want to point out that the elapsed time from initial interest survey to the decision was 43 business days. The request from Lake County Superior Court for AOC to support the deployment to support and deploy the proceedings interface with Sustained Justice Edition was approved. For the December 12th face-to-face meeting earlier today, the committee received updates on the budget change proposals for case management system replacement, appellate document management system, and reviewed the Court Technology Advisory Committee annual agenda, which we voted to approve with certain modifications of the projects that the CTAC will embrace, and with the additional proviso that as of July 1st, after the Council has reviewed the recommendations from the Planning Task Force, that the governance structure relative to CTAC as well as projects may at that time change. So that's been referred back, and staff is preparing the finalization based upon the vote of the Planning Task Force. And, of course, we will bring that forward for approval by both RUPRO and EMP. So let's see. With that, that concludes the report from the Technology Committee. I do want to thank our hardworking committee. We put in a lot of time and hours on this project since our last meeting, and also thank the support that Mark Desmond and his crew always provides to my committee, including Jessica Craven, who keeps us organized and on track. So thank you.
Thank you, Judge Herman.